I tell you what, there's been a lot going on this week. We just got the new CPI number. The new inflation number came out on Thursday. That is directly relating into the polls and what people can expect in November in terms of who's going to have the Senate, who's going to have Congress. It's just really beginning to add up and stack up. Prices are going up. Mortgage rates are going up. The politician's response to this varies widely. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Got a couple clips that we're going to play. Plus, maybe in the second segment, in the third segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about the economy. We're not going to do the B or not the B. I'm probably not going to be able to do that every single week because you got to let the Babylon Bee really kind of build up, you know, so you can have a good selection of headlines that are almost real or will probably soon be real. But in the third segment today, we're going to talk a little bit more about the economy. In the second segment, we're going to talk a little bit about specifically inflation and some recent poll numbers that have come out. Some poll numbers in some of these battleground states like Nevada and Arizona. I got a couple clips to play on that. Tell you what, the Democrats, they think that they're going to have this locked up because they are overestimating abortion as the driving force that's going to bring Democrats and independents to the polls. We'll talk a little bit about that. But right now, let's talk a little bit about the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party, as most people know, if you've been paying attention to the news cycle, just this week, I think it was maybe Wednesday, Tulsi Gabbard, the former congresswoman from Hawaii, also a former presidential candidate in the Democrat Party. She ran against Hillary Clinton and a number of people back in, I think, what was it, 2016 that she ran? Yep. Was it 2016
yeah,
that
16.
She ran for? She has left the Democrat Party. She is no longer there. When she came out and gave her reasoning why she's leaving the Democrat Party, the number one thing that she cited is, well, I'll give two things. She says that the Democrat Party is now the warmongering party. And it's true. It's true. Democrat Party is a warmongering party. It used to be historically, traditionally, the Democrats would use that line against Republicans. But now it's the Democrats. But the other reason that she gave is she says that the Democrats basically are racist, constantly stoking anti-white sentiment from one issue to the next. And she says that the Democrat Party has become the party of the cowardly woke ideology. The question is this, A, is she right? But B, at the very end of her talk, she did something that a lot of people don't do. There's a lot of people that leave the parties, right? They'll leave the Republican Party, they'll leave the Democrat Party, and they'll say, I'm leaving because of X, Y, and Z. What Tulsi Gabbard did was she had a call to action for other Democrats to leave. That's unusual. To answer the first question, yes, it's absolutely true. The Democrat Party is the party of this cowardly woke ideology, and you see this taking root through corporate wokeism all across the country, whether it's Coca-Cola or Nike, you name it. In order to stay relevant, a lot of these companies like the virtue signal, hey, look at us, we're recognizing that there was, you know, injustices in the past, and for that reason, we're going to be racist today to try to, you know, right or wrong, but whatever. But to answer the second question, the fact that she has a call to action and she's calling out for other Democrats to leave the party, I think that that is going to have a pretty significant effect on anybody who's independent or anybody who's independent but maybe leans Democrat. And I say that because if you're an independent but you lean Democrat, the people probably causing you to feel okay about leaning Democrat has been the Tulsi Gabbards of the Democrat Party, the people that speak to reason. The people that aren't afraid to discuss things, right? So if you're an independent but you lean Democrat, you're not leaning Democrat because you're all for these groomer teachers in schools completely locking parents out of their lives and trying to counsel them and convince them that they're really transgendered. You're not leaning Democrat because you're for that. If you're for that, you are 100% deep within the throes of the Democrat Party. But if you're independent and you're leaning Democrat, you probably feel okay about leaning Democrat because the party has always had people like Tulsi Gabbard there. But now that she's on her way out and she's not leaving quietly and she's not leaving alone, she's trying to pull people with her. The question now is how many independents that were leaning Democrat have decided that they're not even leaning Democrat at all now because now they don't even feel like it's a comfortable place because people like Tulsi Gabbard are there. Now Tulsi Gabbard is actually campaigning, stumping, for at least one Republican up in the Northeast. I think in New Hampshire, she's stumping for a Republican candidate up there. Is she going to become a Republican? I don't think so. Listen, she's not pro-life. Tulsi Gabbard is not pro-life. I don't think she's going to find a sanctuary, you know, political sanctuary inside the Republican Party. But I do think she is going to make a lot of independents and a lot of maybe soft Democrats feel much more comfortable about voting outside of the Democrat Party and probably start steering people towards the Republican Party. I'll tell you a story. This actually happened to me back in, it might have been 2012. I was probably in my second year as a state legislator, and I've always been independent-minded. I always have been. I'm definitely a conservative, but I just don't go along. I fit in a lot of times, like from one issue to the next, I fit in with the Republicans or with different grassroots issues. But like, I am not lock, stock, and barrel, and never have been just with any one particular group. And in 2011, probably one of the first bills that I ever voted on, a Republican had introduced a bill that would have prosecuted and probably put into prison for up to 7 years anybody that got caught distributing what amounted to 1.2 ounces of marijuana. This was definitely a heavy-handed approach to criminal justice policy. I was the only Republican that voted no on that bill in 2012. Now, that was in 2012, okay? In politicians, at least the Republicans and Democrats at one time, these days it's really just the Republicans. The Democrats are a far cry from this. But you want to appear like you're tough on crime because you want responsible citizens to have confidence in your leadership that you're actually going to enforce good laws and keep criminals off the street. So you can see how mission creep over time, suddenly we start criminalizing more and more things. I don't think people ought to go to prison because they get caught with 1.2 ounces of marijuana. I don't think people ought to go to prison because they got caught smoking it, okay? I don't want young people going to prison where there's real criminals. They're there for up to 7 years, according to this bill that I'm talking about, and then they come out of prison, and their best friends throughout the majority of their 20s have been murderers and armed robbers. I don't want that kind of scenario to play out. So I voted no on this bill that would have put somebody in prison for up to 7 years for distribution of what amounts to 1.2 ounces of marijuana. Republicans were telling me, Paul, you got to vote yes on this. This will look really bad if you vote no. So I've always been a little bit more independent minded. I got invited, I think in 2012, to go speak at a group of people in Rolla. There's probably about maybe 75, 80 people there, most of them younger, probably most of them college age. But the whole point of the meeting is it was a meeting about drug legalization, like across the board drug legalization. And I had another Republican say, Paul, don't go to that. That's going to look really bad. If you do that, your next election is over. You can't go to that. And I thought to myself, well, I actually asked the person who invited me. I said, well, if I can't make it, I said, do you have anybody else to go? And he said, yeah, we're going to invite so-and-so. And he named a really, really progressive, far-left liberal. And so I just decided, well, then I'll go. Because I don't want a liberal, to far-left progressive liberal. I don't want them to have a platform to speak to all these young people. So I went. And while I was there, I was talking about how the purpose of government is to keep people free. And we do have to be very careful with these criminal policies that we're passing or writing and then enforcing. We have to be careful with this because the whole purpose of government is to keep people free. And the government is not the arbitrator of morality. The government doesn't get to decide what's moral and what's not. Okay. There are like more. This is where I disagree with a lot of people on the left and probably even some Republicans. But I believe that there are moral absolutes. Zach, do you think that there are moral absolutes? Like, there are some things that are morally always right and always wrong, regardless of the circumstances, it's always wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. For example, is rape always wrong?
Yes.
You can't think of a single scenario.
Right.
That could possibly exist in which people would be like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Right? It's always wrong. Mm-hmm. So if there's one moral absolute, there's probably more, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's grammatical absolutes, there's mathematical absolutes, there's physical absolutes. If morality does not have any absolutes, then it's the only thing that exists in the universe that doesn't have any absolutes. So anyway, I went and talked to these young people, and I'm talking about all this stuff, and I was saying, you know, government's not the arbitrator of what's moral, okay? But we do build laws around that moral structure that naturally exists. And when I left, I had a young woman send me a private message in my Twitter DMs, and she said, I'm a flaming liberal, but I agreed with everything you said tonight. And so I messaged her back and I said, if you're a flaming liberal, but you also agreed with everything I said, then you're probably not a flaming liberal. I said, shoot for independent-minded. Because she's not going to just immediately rush out and join the Republican Party, right? I said, shoot for independent-minded. She needed permission. She needed to feel like it was okay to say, hey, I don't have to be a Republican, but I also don't have to be bound to the ideology of the left. And so I was trying to, like, explain that to her. Like, you can just shoot for independent-minded, you know? Because if I ever wind up on your ballot, maybe you, if you believe with everything I say, you ought to be able to vote for me and don't let that little R next to my name stop you from voting for me if you actually believe with everything I'm saying. So she was independent-minded. So she kind of went down that road of being more independent-minded. And I think that Tulsi Gabbard making this call, having this call to action for all these people that have been voting for Democrats to now leave that Democrat Party, leave those chains and those bonds that have kept people tied ideologically or traditionally to the Democrat Party, I think that's going to have a pretty significant effect. And I don't think it could have come at a better time than when President Joe Biden, on our way up just less than a month now away from these midterm elections, he is playing games with people's wallets, right? In terms of, where do we start? In terms of student loan bailouts, in terms of the fact that he is extorting, and I will use this word, and we'll talk a little bit about this in the second, maybe third segment today, extorting the American people in terms of their vote. What he's pinning all this on is whether or not he can lower gas prices. I say extorting, that's probably not even the right word, but he's playing games, right? He's trying to exploit. That's probably just a better way to put it. He's exploiting the whole gas and oil situation to try to scoop up votes. Have you seen this recent article come out? Congressman Tom Tiffany from Wisconsin. He's calling for an investigation because President Joe Biden, the Saudis have announced that President Joe Biden asked them, when they said that they were going to cut oil production, he asked them, well, would you wait until after our elections to do it? Would you wait? Would you just wait? We know you're going to cut oil production. We know it's going to make gas prices rise. But the Democrat Party has got to stay in power. And if you cut oil production before our election, that's going to hurt the Democrats' ability to stay in power in Congress and in the Senate. So could you please just wait until after the midterm elections and then cut oil production? President Biden is playing games with all President Biden has to do. If he wants to be the hero here, if he wants to stay in power, make us energy independent. Get us back to drilling. Get these pipelines up and running so these thousands and thousands of pipeline workers, the people that he fired with a swipe of his pen after he got elected when he canceled the Keystone Pipeline, let's get those people back to work. Let's get the oil pumping. Let's get energy independent. Let's get our refineries producing gasoline for the domestic production and use here in America. If he would just do that, but he won't do that because President Biden is also bound to the woke left. And when you're bound to the woke left, it puts you in a position where you're also at the mercy of some of the people who stand to exploit us on this whole oil situation and some of the people that really aren't our friends to begin with, people like the Saudis.
What is the top issue for Americans at this point, and who is trusted on that? The top issue for Americans at this point is not the January 6th committee hearings. It is not Donald Trump. It's inflation, according to 33% of Americans. That is the top issue. And who is trusted more on the issue of inflation? The margin right here is absolutely huge. Republicans are trusted over Democrats by 19 points. And that is why, at this particular point, Republicans still lead on that generic congressional ballot.
So there you have it. There you have it from CNN as they're making an effort to become a trusted news source once again. I got thoughts and opinions about that. However, on this particular clip, we're going to talk about that. Welcome back. This is Paul Kirtman here at News Talk STL. The number one issue that CNN has drawn out from this Monmouth poll, top issue is inflation. 33% of all Americans are headed to the polls, and the number one issue that's going to inform their vote is the topic of inflation. We just had inflation numbers just come out. I think, let's see, it came out on Thursday. I think it's 8.4. Is it 8.4? I'm trying to remember the actual rate of inflation right now. But again, we're at 40-year highs. They expected inflation to tick up a little bit. Some people were saying, no, it might tick down a little bit. Listen, folks, the experts are always wrong. The experts are always wrong. If you are making financial decisions or investment decisions based off the talking heads on CNBC, CNN, even Fox News, or any of these people, I would advise you not to do that because they are always wrong. When inflation first became an issue in May of 2021, they all were like scratching their heads, like they were surprised. Oh my goodness, inflation, never saw this coming. And now here we are hitting four-decade high inflation rates. Interest rates are now being driven up by the Federal Reserve and as they're attempting to rein in inflation and tighten up that money supply. And so things, I think, have a long ways to go. I think we have a lot further to go before this whole inflation situation gets under control or starts coming back down to the target rate of 2%. But right now we have a midterm election. And right now, 33% of Americans, one out of every three voters, is going to the polls and they're going to be voting. And what's going to inform their vote has everything to do with who they think is going to help rein in the whole inflation issue. Now, there's been two battleground states. There's been Arizona and Nevada. Arizona and Nevada, whoever wins the Senate, this is really kind of up for grabs. I can't really remember if I played this last week, but I'm going to play it again this week because this just drives the point home. And considering the fact that we just had these new inflation numbers come out, the numbers that we saw last week, if I think I played this clip last week, you can only imagine that the disparity has gotten even bigger. Here's another clip from CNN.
Other warning sign for Democrats as we get into the final month, just look at this. What is the top issue among likely voters, those likely to turn out 33 days from now? Look at this. The economy and inflation, overwhelmingly, 39% of Arizona voters say it's number one. 44% of voters in Nevada say the economy and inflation, number one, dwarfing abortion or voting rights, dwarfing abortion and voting rights, perhaps issues that would play in the Democrats' favors. This is a troubling sign for Democrats.
So the troubling sign for Democrats is the fact that Roe versus Wade being overturned is not quite gripping the hearts and minds of the American people the way the Democrats hoped it would. If last week, these poll numbers from last week, if in the battleground states, 39% of Arizona voters were voting on the economy and inflation and only 18% were concerned about abortion, if in Nevada, 44% of voters were going to the polls to vote on the issue of economics and inflation and only 14% were going there to vote on the issue of abortion as their issues, now, after we've gotten the new September inflation numbers, now those numbers, and it's not just the inflation number. Yeah, inflation has gone up. It went up in September. But it's not just that that's going to further drive people to be concerned about the economy and inflation. And the inflation numbers have gone up. But you know what else has continued to go up over the last week? Gas prices. They're continuing to go up. The national average has gone up substantially. We are creeping back towards those numbers that we saw midsummer. And Biden is sweating bullets right now. The Democrats are sweating bullets because the closer we get to the midterm elections, we also see like a thermometer rising. We see gas prices continuing to go up, which is why President Biden would tell the Saudis, please wait till after the election to cut oil supply. Please just wait till after the election. And I love that the Saudis were just like really open about this. Yeah, President Biden, he's real concerned about his election. So he asked us to wait until after his elections for us to cut oil supply. I'm just love that they actually came right out and said it. Like, I'm not a big fan of the Saudis, but I'm glad that they came right out and said this, and they're not just, you know, doing these favors for each other to try to manipulate the election. I mean, you want to talk about a stolen election? Everyone is talking about the big lie. President Trump, oh, it's the big lie that these elections were stolen. How is it also not part of the narrative of a stolen election for a president to try to manipulate the supply of gas and oil to keep the prices low just to win an election, right? We know that they're going to try to moderate these. And we know that they're concerned about these things as they're going into a midterm election. But for President Biden, I hope that Congressman Tom Tiffany from Wisconsin, I really hope he's able to get to the bottom of this a little bit. I doubt he will because the Democrats still control the House right now. And if the Republicans take the House after the midterm elections, I really don't see a lot happening. I see a lot of committees happening. We probably get a lot of information, but there's never going to be any justice for these things because there almost never is, right? But I do hope we get a lot more exposure on President Biden for knowing that oil production is going to be cut, but then asking the Saudis to keep it quiet, keep it private, don't actually do it until after the midterm elections, all to help the Democrats. How does that not become a matter of election integrity when the president's not really trying to work towards a solution for the American people who are spending money on gas from one day to the next, but he's looking for a solution for the Democrat Party? It wasn't don't cut oil supply because the people of the world are right now suffering from the throes of a pandemic that have left the country and the whole globe in some type of economic turmoil. It wasn't for that. He was asking the Saudis not to cut oil production until after the Democrats have a chance to keep their seats in the House and the Senate. That's what he was asking for. He brought the elections into it. He invoked the elections and his Democrat Party as a reason for the Saudis to not cut oil production, at least until after these elections. What a complete betrayal of the American people. Well, what about after the elections, Mr. President? Then you're totally okay with the oil production being cut by 2% and gas continuing to skyrocket? Is that okay for the moms and dads across the country right now who right now are trying to figure out, well, do we put gas in the truck so dad can get to work, or are we going to put gas in the minivan so mom can get the kids to school? How are we going to do this? President Biden's not concerned about that. He doesn't care if any of that happens after the election. He just wants to make sure that everything's good until the election, because this is all President Biden and the Democrats have left to hold on to. It's all they've got. Roe versus Wade didn't work. Getting out of Afghanistan didn't work. Yeah, we're finally out, but not without giving the Afghanis and the Taliban and China, ipso facto, because China is now running the show in Afghanistan. I don't know how familiar people are with that, but China has a huge footprint in Afghanistan now. And so we've given them machine guns, we've given them mortars, we've given them helicopters, we've given them airplanes, we've given them everything they need to have their own army. So they can't chalk that up to a win for the Democrat Party. But still, nevertheless, this is just incredible to me. And I'm not going to give Donald Trump and the Republicans a pass on this, because a lot of these bailouts happened under the Trump administration. And I know people are going to say, well, that was because we had a pandemic and nobody really knew what was going on. Listen, the best thing to do is to never create new money. That's the best thing. The go-to solution should not be bailouts and stimulus checks. That should not be the go-to solution. The go-to solution should never be any type of socialistic policy. But that's exactly what Republicans and Democrats all moved to when they decided that they should start closing our businesses and telling us to stay home. It was wrong for them to do it. It was wrong for Republicans to have a part in it. And that did, I'm just telling you the truth, according to the numbers, the math, and the timeline, and who was in power, Republicans did have a role in this too. But since Joe Biden came into office, he pumped that into steroids. It has just taken off. So now we have inflation like we haven't seen in 40 years. Listen to Joe Biden. Joe Biden's given a speech. How in the world this guy even has the nerve to say something like this? Check this out.
But not a single penny. No, I mean it. Not a single penny. Republican wins, inflation is going to get worse. It's that simple.
It's that simple, folks. It's that simple. If Republicans win, inflation's going to get worse. Well, here's the only way inflation doesn't get worse, whether it's Republicans or Democrats. There's two things at play here. The Federal Reserve raising interest rates to tighten up the money supply, so that way there's less money in circulation. The other way inflation doesn't get worse is if we stop with all these authoritarian lockdowns and everything. And I know we have, right? I know we have. Officially, the pandemic is over, right? But this contributed to the problem, and we're still dealing with the fallout from this. When you have all these restrictions internationally and domestically that make it a lot harder to move products, the finished products, from the ships in the harbor to the shelves at Walmart, when that cost goes up, that cost gets passed on to the consumer. And so prices go up. When the cost of gasoline becomes more expensive and it costs more just to transport in a truck the products from the ports to the shelves at Walmart, that cost is also passed on to consumers. So the prices begin to go up. When you have a lot more money in circulation, the dollar in your wallet becomes worth less because there's just more of them out there. So the cost of things begins to go up. And when you have government leaders like Joe Biden and the Democrats pushing to bail out all these student loans, where is that money going to come from? See, people think this. There's a little bit of some confusion here. People think, oh, see, I pay taxes. I guess my tax dollars are going to pay for that. Well, yeah, yes and no. Okay, they kind of are, but they're really kind of not. You think that you do you really believe that people in Congress are sitting down with their spreadsheets trying to figure out how much tax dollars are out there? So how much can we afford? That's not happening. We obviously can't afford this. Where do you think that money's coming from? They're going to create it out of thin air. That's where the money's coming from. Social Security? You think that there's a fund out there? You think there's a ledger out there somewhere that talks about how much money is in the Social Security fund? Social Security is a slush fund. Congress has continuously raided that and used it over and over again. Our government creates more money, and that's where they often find the funds to do things like bail out student loans. And as they create more money for these things, cost for goods and services begins to rise because why? There's more money in circulation. There's more money out there in the ether. And so the $1 that you worked for that you're holding in your wallet, waiting to spend it on something you need or want, that $1 is worth less. So now you got to find more of them in order to buy the things that you've been saving for. Man, I don't even know. I'm getting fired up here, Zach. I don't know if you can tell.
Yeah.
Okay. I know how this works, folks. When we come back, I'll tell you a little bit about a partial audit of the Federal Reserve that just tells us exactly how bad the problem was 12 years ago. And then after that, we're going to talk a little bit about some problems that Democrats are having in Virginia and how they're creating a problem for themselves because they're trying to punish parents for not reaffirming the gender of their young children. We're going to talk about that bill that was introduced in Virginia when we come back here in just a minute. So when I was in the House of Representatives, I'm big on this issue. People like to, Republicans too, they would, what I really hate about so many politicians, and I'm speaking, folks, this is kind of my joke, right, as a recovering politician. I never really thought of myself as a politician. I was elected, right? But I had ideas and I had a set of principles, you know, a code. And I wasn't out there fighting for every good issue because you can't fight on every issue. Sometimes you just have to support other people that are leading the fight on issues, right? And so you can't lead on everything. But one of the things that I really paid attention to was the whole economic situation, taxes, inflation, things like that. And I authored a resolution in the Missouri House of Representatives or in the Missouri State Senate. It's non-binding. It doesn't create a law, but basically, if it'll usually have a committee hearing, it'll go to the House floor or the Senate floor, sometimes both. And if it passes, that resolution basically becomes a formal, authorized statement of the people of Missouri on any particular issue. Okay. So I introduced a resolution back in 2013, maybe 2014. And my resolution was a statement to Missouri's congressional delegation urging them to support the audit the Fed legislation that was being introduced and sponsored by U.S. Senator Rand Paul. Now, this is important, although I had a lot of people, even Republicans that voted for it, that were annoyed by this. Oh, that's a federal issue. It's not a state issue. No, it's a federal issue and a state issue. It's a state issue because all the dollars that we're using to pay taxes with and all the dollars in the state treasury are Federal Reserve notes. So our budget, we pay our budget with Federal Reserve notes. And so if the federal government is manipulating the money supply and inflation's going up, if our state budget is worth less because of the policies of the federal government, then it becomes a state issue and the states need to speak out on this. So I introduced a resolution. Let's audit the emergency lending practices of the Federal Reserve and find out exactly how much new money they've created without even telling anybody. We should know. And the reason this was such a big deal is because back in 2008 or 2009, there was a partial audit of the Federal Reserve. I want to stress that it was a partial audit, but we were able to determine from this partial audit that the Federal Reserve, which, by the way, folks, it has federal oversight, right? The president appoints the chairman of the Federal Reserve, but it's not actually a federal bank. Like, you can work for the Federal Reserve and not be a federal employee, right? It's the what a lot of people like to say is it's no more of a federal entity than the than Federal Express, you know? Just because it's in the name does not mean it's owned by the federal government. But we found out from this partial audit of the Federal Reserve that through private dealings, the Federal Reserve had created to the tune of $16 trillion new dollars. Explain to me how that is not going to create inflationary pressure when they create $16 trillion new dollars in private dealings with foreign and domestic banks and businesses. And nobody knew about it. If you look in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, the people of America have very clearly and expressly told Congress that we want our congressmen, not the Senate, the U.S. Congress, to actually control the value of our money. But back in 1917, we completely outsourced all of that to the Federal Reserve. So Congress, like we have like to have our little cute committee meetings and everything, but Congress and the American people, we're not even in charge of the value of our own money anymore. The closest we can get is to electing a president who will then appoint a chairman of the Federal Reserve who will then begin to control that policy, right? So anyway, I just wanted to mention that. But this is a problem for the left and the right because everybody's kind of bought into this idea and our money's not backed by anything and it's become a problem, which is why I'm a big fan of Bitcoin because it's kind of the last bastion for real sovereignty and controlling the value of your own property. As a store of value, you can do that with cryptocurrency and Bitcoin, at least for now, to a certain degree. Now, I'm going to pivot just a little bit because I've got to get to this story. Virginia Democrat introduces a bill to give government the ability to prosecute parents who refuse to affirm their child's gender identity. Listen to this clip. This is a Virginia state lawmaker, a Democrat, who is trying to create new superpowers. I'm just going to put it that way. Superpowers for child protection services in the state of Virginia.
Virginia delegate is introducing a new bill centered around parents and how they handle their child's sexual orientation and gender identity.
7 News reporter Nick Minock explains why this is controversial.
Right now, parents' rights and LGBTQ protections are a big focus in Virginia. Thousands of students in Virginia have walked out of class protesting Governor Glenn Youngkin's newly proposed model policies on the treatment of transgender students at school.
Trans rights are human rights!
And Governor Youngkin argues schools shouldn't keep parents in the dark about their child's sexual orientation and gender identity.
These same progressives in Fairfax County actually believe that they should lock parents out of their children's lives. They think that parents have no right to know what your child is discussing with their teacher or their counselor.
Democratic Virginia delegate Elizabeth Guzman is a social worker, and she's planning on reintroducing a bill in Richmond that she says would help protect LGBTQ children from their parents and guardians who may not be affirming of their child's sexual orientation and gender identity.
This is how we're going to push back.
Her bill would expand the state's definition of child abuse and neglect to include parents who do not affirm their child's gender identity or sexual orientation.
There's an investigation also in place that is not only, you know, from a social worker, but there's also a police investigation before we make the decision that there's going to be a CPS charge.
What could the penalties be if, you know, the investigation concludes and it's concluded that a parent is not affirming of their LGBTQ child? What could the consequences be?
Well, we first have to have an investigation. You know, it could be a felony, it could be a misdemeanor, but we know that a CPS charge could harm, you know, your employment, could harm your education.
And Alexandria, Nick Minock, 7 News.
And Delegate Guzman tells 7 News that she is hoping to pass the bill in the upcoming legislative session.
This is terrifying. The fact that the Democrat Party feels like it is the government's place to tell parents, hey, if you're not actually reaffirming what your 3-year-old's gender identity is, well, then we're going to bring charges. And this Democrat lawmaker says there will be an investigation. And if it's found that you as a parent are not reaffirming the sexual orientation, identity, the sexual gender of your child, it could be a misdemeanor or it could be a felony. You know what happens, Zach? You know what some of the consequences of being a felon are?
A little bit.
You can't own a gun.
Right.
And you can't vote. Let that sink in. The Democrats are saying, parents, if you're not going to follow this LGBTQ agenda of the Democrat Party and the woke left, well, we're gonna put you in a position where if we use our system of justice, social justice here, right, with the authority and the arm of law, well, now we're just going to take away your right to vote altogether. Oh, and you don't like that? Now we're also going to take away your right to defend yourself because you could be charged with a felony and lose your right to carry a gun and lose your right to vote, all because your daughter says that she's a male fireman and you're not going to reaffirm that gender and say, you're right, honey, you're right, little 3-year-old, you really are a little boy. Oh, this becomes public information. You post about this in a funny story on Facebook. Get the police involved. Remove those children from the home. You're a felon. Now you can't even vote. You can't even vote against the Democrats who are enforcing this kind of policy. And the Democrats in Virginia are quite literally weaponizing child protective services against families, all for the agenda of the far, far radical left. And if you are a Democrat today, you are guilty by association because this is all happening through the vehicle of the Democrat Party, and the Democrat Party as an institution has embraced it. Man, and the thing is people thought that this was crazy talk just a few years ago. I remember Dennis Prager on Bill Maher. I always say his name wrong.
I think it's Maher.
Maher, is it right?
I think okay. So. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I read someone's name, sometimes when I say someone's name, if it's kind of an interesting name, I will also see the spelling in my head, and that will make me give me second thoughts if I'm even saying it right. Bill Maher. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, Dennis Prager from Prager University, he was on Bill Maher's show, and he started talking about this idea that men can get pregnant. And Bill Maher and the audience laughed at Dennis Prager because they thought that Dennis Prager was really going way out there and just making stuff up to try to make the Democrats and the left look bad. But it wasn't but just months until that actually became a talking point to the left. And within just a couple of years, Supreme Court nominees are refusing to respond to a question of what is a woman. And when asked if men can get pregnant, now we have university professors at Harvard and Yale telling U.S. senators, yes, men can get pregnant, and if you don't believe that, then you are enforcing stereotypes that are quite literally violence. And now the Democrat Party, the party, has embraced the idea that we should enforce child protection service policy and permit them to remove children from the homes of parents and charge parents with a felony So now the parents don't have guns. They can't vote. There's other things they can't do. They lose a lot of privileges of citizenship, all because the parent says, hey, honey, before you decide that you want to chop your genitals off, let's just wait until you become an adult. That's going to be a felony now under this Democrat policy being introduced in Virginia. The Democrat Party is insane. And for all the talk that MAGA Republicans are a threat and a danger to society as we know it, like, right, this is what Joe Biden's saying, clear and present danger to democracy. If there is no family, then there is nothing. And I know you might think it sounds crazy. You might just think that it absolutely sounds crazy that anybody would embrace the idea that we need to rip apart the family. But I got screenshots on my phone of Black Lives Matter website saying that they want to get rid of the family. And once they got a little bit of pushback, they went in and deleted it. But this is what you can expect. I'm sorry. It's what you can expect from the radical left and from Marxists, the founders of Black Lives Matters, self-avowed, trained Marxists. Their words, not mine. And what do they put on the website? We got to get rid of the family. Of course they're putting that on their website because that's exactly what Marx believed, right? Because you got to get rid of any type of class or structure. That's the Marxist idea. And now here we have one embraced by the Democrat Party, ready to make parents felons. Just because the parents want their little 3-year-old or want their 14-year-old to wait till they become an adult to actually do things that will be irreversible in terms of their sexual identity or orientation or the physical makeup of their body. Folks, get out and vote. Investigate and interrogate. Right? That's a good word to use. Interrogate the people on your ballot. I'm not saying waterboard them, but what I'm saying is ask them tough questions. Put them under the spotlight. Make them sweat a little bit. Folks, it's been a good day. It'll be a good day tomorrow. It'll be a good day next week when I'm right back here with Zach Factor in the studio on The Paul Kertman Show. And if in the meantime you want to go to paulkertman.com or find me on Facebook or Twitter at Paul Kertman, I like to do Facebook videos throughout the week and I talk a little bit about this stuff. And on my PR Kertman Investments page on Facebook on Tuesdays at 3:30, I do a little show where I talk about politics, markets, and the culture. So you can visit me there for market updates. You can go to PR Kertman if you want to get on my list, where I'm talking about the economy and the markets. And if there's anything you need from me on that front, that whole front side, I'm a registered investment advisor here in the state of Missouri. You can find me at prkertman.com. But I'll be back next week with Zach Factor right here at News Talk STL. This is 101.9, 94.1.